Oh boy. Fire coming down. Good day. It's a good day in Jesus, right? Always a good day in Jesus. Good day. Good day because he's good. But what a good day, the day you're one with him. God is doing some things. He's planning some things. And what I'd like to do over the next several weekends is kind of build a roadmap of understanding so that you can know what he's doing and why he's doing it. Would you like that? The stirrings of God. Have you ever experienced it? The stirrings of God. Do you like that better? Feels more like family. When you're away over there, I can't see you very well. The rumblings of God. The stirrings of God. Rumblings under the sight of man. Rumblings under the earth. Rumblings in the heavens. The rumblings of God. The stirrings of God. What are the rumblings? When God starts rumbling things around, this is going to sound like a terrible example. I always said that I never wanted to go to Florida because someone once told me years ago that the cockroaches in Florida are so big, they never sneak into your house. They stand at your door and they bang the door down. And they say, I'm coming in. When the rumblings of God begin to happen, the cockroaches scatter from their hiding place where they have made many plans to do evil. And the evil that they've been planning begins to surface. You can hear the rumblings of God. How does it go? Like the thunder rolling across the sky. You may not sense it in the natural, but in the spirit realm can hear it. God is in movement all the time. He's never passive, ever. When he sends out his rumblings, he's doing it for a purpose. He wants to bring those bugs out of their hiding place. Sometimes it's because it's time to reveal and for the things that they've been planning to come to pass. Remember when Jesus said to Judas, he said, do what you must do quickly. Judas was about to create a panic in the underworld. He was about to fulfill the most evil, diabolical thing ever heard of. And Jesus did not sit there and say, don't do it. Don't go that way, Judas. But what he said was, do what you must do quickly. Because there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. Sometimes evil has to be fulfilled because it's time to pray that it won't happen. Is futile prayer because it's time. So it's important to know God's time clock. It's important to know His seasons. I can remember when the angel of the Lord took me into a timeless tunnel and told me that something was about to happen in Europe, the likes of which would make all ears tingle. And I immediately knew that Margaret Thatcher was going to be dethroned. Within days of this experience, it happened. That was one of those things, do what you must do quickly. There would have been no way to stop it. There was a move, a force moving in the earth that had to move her out of the way for the one world government, for the Illuminati to move forward. It was time for England to be captivated by certain things, and she was in the way. There is a time and there is a place for all things under heaven. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for evil. There's a purpose for good. There's a time for evil. There's a time for good. God has His seasons. Do you understand? You don't need me to keep. When God sends forth His rumblings, He's dealing with the bugs. The bugs that love to hide in darkness. Sometimes He's revealing what must be revealed, not necessarily to be stopped. Sometimes He's revealing what must be revealed to be stopped. Sometimes the evil is so great, you would think that there would be no divine purpose in it at all. How could God ever have a purpose out of such great, devastating evil? I just want you to understand, if you're going to understand the seasons of God, you've got to understand there's a time for light, and there's a time for darkness. There's a time for good, and there's a time for evil. But through it all, and in the midst of all of it, God is revealing His goodness. Isn't that an amazing thought? That a very difficult, terrible crisis could come about, and that God was allowing it in His goodness. If you can ever get a grip on that one truth, it will change your walk with God. People stumble when they suffer because they believe that God has pulled back His goodness. But when we can understand that God's goodness often will allow the darkness to prevail for a higher purpose, then we can find a place of safety. We can find a place of rest. We can find a place in God to hide. So what we have coming is darkness. It's growing. Amen? It's growing. I mean, it's growing like black mold. You guys are all familiar with that sweet substance, right? It's growing. But so is the light. The understanding that evil has of the ways of its father is also growing. What I mean is this. The occult, for instance, has never had the understanding of occultic realities such as they are being allowed to have in this day. God is allowing them to hear from the occultic realm great evils, great ways to work with Satan in such a way as it has never been seen before. Now, when you think about the days of Rome, that is an incredible statement. When has there ever been darker days than when Rome was ruling the earth? Well, I suppose there have been many, but when you compare it just with the days of Rome and the occult that was so prevalent in those days, it's an amazing thought to think that what they are tapping into today is even greater. Now, because I'm a prophet and because I'm an intercessor and because of the kinds of things that God has us doing as a team, He has revealed to me many things that the occult is being open to in these days. And it is phenomenal. There's a time for evil, and there's a time for good. There's a time for darkness, and there's a time for light. Evil is growing. It's growing in its understanding. It's growing in its expectancy. For instance, the Illuminati that has been working for 200 years or better toward world dominion has a heightened expectancy such as they have never had to achieve their goals at last. But there is a time. They have come very close many times in the last 100 years to overturning all things and bringing it in under a one-world government. And at the last minute, the Lord just pulls the carpet out from under it and everything flies until a more appropriate time. Now, in these days, they have things so uniquely packed that they feel like it cannot be broken. Yet, even so, with questions. Even David Rockefeller said just a short time ago, we have but a small window to accomplish this. And if we don't do it in that time, we will be set back for a long time. Why has God allowed this great cancer to continue growing? Why hasn't He stopped it? Is it because the church hasn't prayed? Well, I believe that's part of it. But moreover, there is a time and a purpose and a season for everything in God. So while He's allowing this to prosper to some degree, He is speaking to His church. He is calling His church to come into deeper spiritual realities so that the church can overcome the darkness. If they're growing in darkness, the church must correspondingly grow in light. We must understand how to walk as spirit beings, walk in the prosperity of the spirit. And I'm not speaking of monetary prosperity, but I'm speaking of living, for instance, the life that Enoch lived, where you were living above the things of this earth and walking and ruling in the life of the Spirit. You're accomplishing things by the life of the Spirit and not by the soul life or the flesh life. There's a time for evil and there's a time for good. God is calling His church. He's talking to His church. The word is going out by His Spirit. Whether you hear it verbally or you don't, your spirit hears it. And there are those who are responding, who have a hunger to go higher in God, deeper in God, to understand deeper realities in God, to understand how to work with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit is calling and people are hungry. Their desire to know and to understand and to learn is growing. Just as it is with the occult, it is with the church. And God is preparing the world for the confrontation of the ages. And praise God, is going to happen in our lifetime. That too is an amazing thought. It's an amazing reality. Many don't want to believe it because they they don't want to think about, you know, so great a dark confrontation. But when you understand what God is going to do in the midst of it, it's not a fearful thing. It becomes a glorious thing. Amen? Remember the goodness. So having said that, I want to take a few minutes to speak on Moses again. So please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Moses is a type. He's a type of what is coming. He is a type of what must be. God must bring forth men and women who walk in the ways of Moses. He must, to accomplish his end time goals. Are you still with me? Chapter 11. Aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and become great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he preferred to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God rather than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He considered the contempt, abuse, and shame born for the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come, to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward in a way to the reward, the recompense. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. Moses. This man, Moses. If you really want the deep things of God, if you really want to walk in the overcoming life, it would seem to me that anyone that wanted to walk there would study the life of Moses. What he did, the decisions he made, what transpired as a result of his decisions, what God did through the different increments of Moses' life. It would seem like you would want to know, to understand how God works with a human being in preparing them for great things. Please say, great things. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that what is about to transpire in the body of Christ throughout the world, the words great things cannot describe adequately. In the days of Moses, he's being raised in Pharaoh's court. Isn't that an amazing thing? He's being raised in Pharaoh's court. All of those men who were born about the same time as Moses, I mean, he's the only one of his age. Think about that. The rest of them didn't survive. You have to wonder, how could Pharaoh have been so blind? He didn't look like an Egyptian. I've been taken up into the spirit. I've met Moses. He didn't look Egyptian. He didn't look real Jewish either. He was very fair-skinned and blue-eyed. And God made him that way because he knew that the fair skin and the blue eyes would appeal to Pharaoh's daughter. And because of the fairness, that's what the Bible says. He was fair. That's what the Bible says. And when the Bible says he was fair, the Bible was talking about his coloring. That's what gave him favor to be rescued. So here you are in Egypt, the deliverer being raised in Pharaoh's house. This is just an amazing thing to me. Pharaoh trained him, taught him how to rule, loved him, fed him. A deliverer had been born. And God established it that he would be raised in the house of Pharaoh. I'm sorry, but that story is just so amazing to me. You know, I mean, that would be like if you were born to deliver the world from the Illuminati and you are raised in the courts of Prince, whatever his name is, in England. Philip, is that his name? Margaret, what is her name? Queen Elizabeth, maybe? It's so good. You know, he was married to what's her name until she was killed. Charles. Oh, how could I forget Charles? Yes. It would be like if you had been created to be a deliverer of the world from the Illuminati, and you were raised in Prince Charles' home. This is big stuff, you guys. I'd like to hear, gee, yes. So here you have Moses, the one that is going to deliver Israel from Egypt, being raised in Egypt. Then the time comes, the crisis comes about. He's ushered out into the desert. By who? The Holy Spirit. He's learned for 40 years one thing. Now he has to be trained in another way to learn other things for the next 40 years. He's learned how to walk before men and even before princes. Now he's going to learn how to walk before God. And it's going to take 40 years for him to learn these valuable lessons. Once the most eloquent man in all of Egypt, but his words could not save his life. He's going to be ushered out into the desert, and he's going to be so broken by the dealings of God that he stutters. And in this brokenness, divine strength, divine authority is going to be imparted. What broke him? I would say there was probably a little conflict in the family. But God has a way of breaking a man. He has a way of stripping identities that don't work, don't function in his purpose and plans. He has a way of rewriting your brain so that you can begin to see things through God's eyes rather than through the eyes of man. He has a way of dispelling darkness through, you know, in the soul I'm talking about. Darkness in the soul where there's a lack of the ability to comprehend light through much suffering and affliction. When a man feels that he's being totally broken, his spirit is being built up in God. The soul is being broken down. The spirit is being raised up. And with the ascent of the Spirit is the impartation of wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the ways and the purposes of God. God is preparing the soul. Now, Moses didn't know all that he understood even before the burning bush. But God had taken the man through years of preparation so that when the commission was put upon him, the understanding would explode within him and he could fulfill the purpose. It took a lot of breaking, building, breaking, building, breaking, building, breaking, building, breaking of the flesh, breaking of the soul, building of the spirit, building of the heart and the wisdom and the mind of God. 40 years of it. Why am I talking to you about this? Because God has his men and women who are going to come forth in these last days as Moses from the hidden place out in the desert where they have been trained in the ways of God. All that they thought they understood, stripped away. All that they thought they knew, stripped away. All that they ever hoped, stripped away. Because that's part of the breakings of God. You have to go through the breakings of hope. You've got to go through the seasons and the times when your perceptions fall broken at your feet so that God's will and plan can come forth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Moses went through it. His dreams, his hopes, his fashions. How many times had Moses heard from the lips of his mother, you were born to be the deliverer? How many times had that been instilled in his heart? He knew only one way to make that happen. And that was to be a man of war. He didn't understand that the deliverance had to come by means of the way of the Spirit. And all of that man of war had to be stripped away so that the man of the Spirit could arise and subdue kingdoms. What an amazing thought! Think about that. Think about that. Subduing kingdoms by the power of the word. What a novel idea. Men understood one thing. You subdue by human force. Moses was created and raised up to reveal to the world that the greatest authority is the spoken word. And a man who is commissioned. It's very important that you understand this and how your life plays into this. Because when the Spirit calls and the stream that you were created to fill is opened up, you must understand so you can fill your place. If God has called you to be a Moses, you've got to understand what you're being trained for so you can walk in it. If you're called to be a Joseph, now there's another man. Here we have a prince, very handsome prince, one of the Hebrew children. People in many parts would have known about Joseph because of his beauty. And he was one of Jacob's sons. But Joseph, like Moses, was created for a purpose. He was raised as royalty, just like Moses, and sold into slavery, where all of that refinement done by man could be broken at the foot of the cross. And God could develop in Joseph the divine nobility, the divine wisdom, the divine understanding, the divine strength. I can remember once when the Lord told me that the years in prison for Moses was God's way of imparting steel into his bones, so that when he made him second to the throne, he would do what was right. And not even his brothers or his father could steer him in a direction God did not want him to go. He was putting steel in his bones through great suffering. Well, let's look at it. I'll show you in the Word. Come with me to Psalm. Psalms 105. Said, he sent a man before him, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the irons. Until his word to his cruel brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. What was happening? His soul was entering into the irons. I said to the Lord, why? Why did it have to go like this? And he spoke to me right out of his word, Daniel, the book of Daniel. And it says, because iron subdues all things. It is the same with Moses. Moses was sent out to the desert for the iron of God to be put in his spirit and soul. And this iron, I've seen it. Jesus appeared to me once and showed it to me. This iron, when imparted in authority, subdues all things. We don't know the ways of the Spirit. We know the ways of the church, but we don't know the ways of the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit are much higher than the ways of the church. There is a time and a season for evil. There is a time and a season for good. A time and a season for darkness. A time and a season for light. If darkness has its kings ready, but the light does not have its kings ready, what happens? God must begin to prepare his kings. And he has been preparing his kings. The same way he prepared Moses. The same way he prepared Joseph. He prepared his kings. The same way he prepared David. Through affliction. The way to the throne is down. The way to authority is humility. The way to the high things in God is eating the dust. If you are going to be great, you must be small. The dichotomy of the kingdom. God is preparing his kings. How? Through the prison. His kings are being prepared, they're being supplied, they're being endowed, they're being taught the wisdom of God, they're being taught how to move in the ways of the Spirit. They are being taught things that are worth many times their weight in gold. So when he brings them out to rule, they will rule quite effectively. While darkness is preparing its kings, God is preparing his kings. And these people, as they come forth, will begin to cause churning in the world. They will begin, what was the word I spoke? The stirrings. They will be the stirrings of God in the earth. What they will do to the body is to bring the life and the glory of the kingdom, such as man has never seen before. Can you imagine? You're standing at the foot of the mountain. God in his burning fire is at the top of the mountain. Moses is up there with him. The Bible says that his glory filled the heavens. Where? Everywhere. His praise filled the earth. Where? In Arabia? It said his praise filled the earth. If the Bible says what it means, where was his praise? Everywhere. He came down and rested on a mount, yet throughout the world, his praise sprang up. The giving of the law was something that was so strategic, so critical, so important to all the earth, that God caused this incredible event, the glory filling the heavens and the praise filling the earth. If no human cried out his praises, the rocks cried them out, but his praise filled the earth. The streams were singing, the trees were clapping, his praise filled the earth. How do we know it? Because the Bible says it. And his glory covered the heavens. Whoa! The giving of the law. The most glorious event that had ever happened to man. And there Moses was, right in the middle of it. So great and so glorious was this event that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. But not only shone, I saw Moses in the condition he came down the mountain in. And the light flashed from his face, literally, like lights flashing from a firecracker. It flashed. Great beams of light from his face. It covered his being. The rest of his life. So great. The angels were singing. The angels were involved. How many angels? We don't know. 10,000s of 10,000s? We don't know. But heaven was fully involved. Do you hear what I'm saying? Heaven was fully involved. The Father, Moses shining in grandeur, splendor. Israel down at the bottom of the mountain. And the sages say that history records that when God spoke the words of the Ten Commandments, every word that he spoke came down the mountain, enfolded every human being at the bottom of the mountain. The estimation is somewhere between 2 and 6 million. Every human being, the word enfolded them, entered into their soul, raised them up to see the kingdom of glory. Such an event. And Paul said that in this dispensation, the glory must be greater. It hasn't been greater yet. So I'm asking the Lord, what in the world is going to happen that the glory will be greater than in those days? Whatever it is, it's going to have to be catastrophic to the kingdom of darkness. It's going to have to be something so great that the whole world is going to know that something has occurred. Something glorious. Something terrifying. Something holy. Something worthy of God alone. Something so great, so grand, that the world has never seen anything like it. And never will again, until the kingdom comes and Jesus rules and reigns in his person in the earth. Lord, what is it going to be? What can it be that it's going to be greater than what has been? And finally he spoke to me. He said, it will be the coming of the sons of God. You must arise. You must arise. This is the day. This is the hour. You've got to come out of your Christian stupor. Quit looking for Christian entertainment. You must arise. Your spirit man must arise and rule over your soul. Your soul must be endowed. Please say this with me. Your soul must be endowed with light, so that you can comprehend the kingdom that is going to spill forth from you. You must arise. You can't play with it anymore. You've got to press into God or you're going to miss it. You'll get to see it. You just won't enjoy being a part of it. Yes, it's true. You must arise. There is a hunger in your soul. Am I telling you the truth? There's a hunger in your soul for something more. You don't want to live the Christian life like you've always lived it. Deep down inside, you know that there's something more. There's something greater. You may not have known what it is, but now I'm telling you what it is. Don't stay down at the bottom of the well when you can float to the top like cream. You must arise. You must pray. You must spend time in the Word. Ask the Lord to make the Word one with you. That's what I'm asking. I want to be one with truth. Ask him for the impossible until your faith grows and you begin to understand it really isn't impossible. Not only is it not impossible, but it is that to which you are called. Yeah, but I never went to Bible school. Never went to any seminary. What does that have to do with God? There are many honest men and women who have gone to seminary and come out unbelievers. What does it have to do with God? Can you read the Bible? John said, you have the unction. You don't have to have someone teach you. The Word will teach you. The unction will teach you the Word. It will teach you the truth. You just have to dig for it. You have to be disciplined to get into the Word, to love the Word, and dig for it. And plead with the Spirit of God to transform you through it. I've shared from the pulpit before, you know, how many of you know Finney? How many of you know who he was? Great man of God. Do you know that he, every night, For hours, he and his prayer partner would get together and they would get on their knees and they would weep and travail that God would open the word to Finney. And before he died, he went into union with Christ. He gave truth to the church in his day that no one else was giving. And how was it born? How did he come to understand? Prayer. Pleading. Travailing. Weeping. Fasting. Teach me your truth. That's what he wants to do with everybody. And while you're learning his truth, become one with it. I want to be one with your truth, Lord. I want to be one with truth. I want truth to fill my soul. The light of truth to fill my soul. So that you have a proper place to live. Where does he dwell? In the light. For him to live in your soul as he's created you to carry him, it must be filled with light. Go get a bushel of God. It's going to be an incredible extravaganza. What is your part? It's time you find out. Why am I created, Lord? This, the greatest hour in the history of the church. Why am I here now? What am I supposed to do? What have you created me to fulfill? This is what you need to know. Don't pass from this life without, number one, knowing why you were created. Number two, fulfilling it. Amen. Are you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
It is the day, Lord. It is the time. It is the season that you are going to bring forth a church without spot or wrinkle. Glorious in power, Lord. Filled with faith. Filled with light. You're going to give us a new brain, the mind of Christ. This is the time when all the fears, the anxieties, the impossibilities are going to fade from our understanding, and we are going to be filled with light. Demonstrating the virtues of Christ. Showing forth the glory of the Son. This is the hour. The church today is going to know what no church has ever known in any age. Awaken our hearts, Lord. Awaken our souls. Awaken us. Awaken us to faith. Awaken us to the light. Awaken us. Awaken us. Awaken us to believe what we've never known to believe before. So great and wonderful are the glories of God. We give you praise, Lord. In your precious name. Amen. There are two books out there that can help you a bit. One is called Prepare for the Winds of Change. If you don't have that book, in it is recorded several angelic visitations and visits from the Lord, telling me of things to come and giving me wisdom to overcome. The other book, To help you understand more of what's coming in the days ahead is Melchizedek. Get those two books and read them. It will help you understand. There's going to be such a transformation of the church. You want to know what's going to happen so you'll be ready. Amen. Bless them, Lord. Bless everyone here tonight. Bless them. Bless them with your spirit. Everyone stand, please. Lift your hands to Jesus. Begin to pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Let your spirit come upon them, Lord. Let your spirit come upon them. Let your spirit come upon them and enter into them, Lord. Truth. 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 Light. Touch them with your fire, Lord. Press in, press in. Press in to receive from him. Press in. Get yours tonight. Get your deposit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.